Thank you, Elder Wong, for the kind introduction. And it is indeed a great pleasure and honor to be here with you and to share God's word with you, especially on this very day. Today is a very important day for the many Protestant churches in the world, because we are celebrating, not Halloween, everyone, don't get it wrong. We are celebrating the Reformation Sunday. Now, what are we really celebrating? And why Reformation, or the Reformation Sunday, is the hype of the Reformation Sunday is no longer feel as much as before? That's the question. And it is important to go back to the scripture, because this is where we found the grace. And as the sermon title that you see in the church bulletin of the sermon outline, Christ alone is the heart of the Reformation. Turn your Bible with me from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Because the Reformation and the understanding of the Reformation is not some human creation. It's not some human creativity. But it is indeed based on the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, looking at verses 1 to 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Verses 8 to 10 from Ephesians 2. You see, Reformation Sunday is the celebration that we had because on the 31st of October 1517, a certain German monk by the name of Martin Luther, he nailed his 95 theses on the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany. He had no idea he was about to spark a spiritual wildfire that would reshape the course of church history. It was a bold act that challenged the teaching and practices of then the Church of Rome. You see, Martin Luther never intended to divide the church, but he did intend to recover the truth of the gospel. But that simple act ignited what we now call the Protestant Reformation, a spirit-empowered movement that brought the church back to the authority of the scripture and the clarity of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Now, when you hear the word Reformation, you're probably thinking of the word, is it a revolution? You see, we in Australia, we hear every week, probably, almost, people are demonstrating. People are going on the street, fill up the street because they want to introduce something. And people use the word, this is a revolution. Now, is a reformation something like that? No, it's not. Because at its core, the Reformation was not a revolution. It was, in fact, a recovery. A recovery of the gospel, a return to the word of God. The reformers were not trying to create something new. They were trying to return to something ancient, the truth of salvation as found in the scripture alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory and honor of God alone. And from this Reformation arose five foundational truths known as the five solas. From the Latin word sola means alone. We know about sola scriptura, scripture alone. Sola gratia, grace alone, sola fide, faith alone, solus Christus, Christ alone, soli Deo gloria, to the glory of God alone. Now, these truths are not just theological slogans for church historians or seminary classrooms. They are pillars for everyday Christian living, principles for all Christian life. Our worship, our families, our works, our ethics, and our missions in the world. You see, when you learn the Shorter Catechism, you learn the first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? What is the ultimate goal of every human? What is the ultimate goal if we Christian, we introduce the value of Christianity to the world? What is the ultimate of humanity made in the image of God? The ultimate goal of every human is to glorify God and enjoying Him forever. A theologian by the name of John Piper tried to make it more relevant to us by introducing the idea, the ultimate goal, the chief end of man, is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. When was the last time you enjoyed God? When was the last time you really enjoying the presence, the very real presence of God in your life? Or the truth has become a distance to you? And this is where we need to go back to the scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 10, we see that all the five solas come together in a beautiful display of God's sovereign grace, woven together in a beautiful tapestry of the gospel. So let's walk through the passage to discover how the Reformation is not just history. It is actually His story and our story. Looking at verses 1 to 9, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. Sola gratia, sola fide. In verses 1 to 3, Paul says thus, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh." Paul described our condition before salvation. He doesn't sugarcoat. He doesn't say we were weak. He does say that we were dead in the trespasses of sin in which we once walked. Not weak, not wounded, dead. Now this is important. Dead people don't help themselves. They don't call for help. This morning I talked to one of my elders and I asked him, "How's the preparation for Sunday?" And he said, "Guess what? I'm waiting for ambulance. I'm waiting for a call. Something happened." Now, this is something that we can describe as an emergency. This is the reality. When we are still having this life, we are able to make a call for help. But not the dead people. Dead people don't help themselves. They don't call for help. They don't cooperate with resuscitation. Spiritual speaking, they were lifeless, hopeless, and hostile toward God. Dead in trespasses. Dead in sins. We walked according to the world, followed Satan, and lived to please our own sinful desires. We followed the course of this world. We are under the influence of the devil and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. And this is where grace starts. with our total inability to save ourselves. Not strength, but total helplessness. In verses 4 to 5, we read thus, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." What a glorious interruption that is. "But God." My dad always reminds me, when you listen to someone's conversation, someone's explanation, pay attention to the word "but." Because the word "but" can make a big difference. The word "but," it's very important. And this is what we read here. Describing the death of humanity, describing the real nature of us, all of us, when we were without Christ. Paul then said in verse 4, "But God." But God what? "He did not leave us in our deadness. He acted in mercy and made us alive in Christ." This is grace. Unearned, undeserved, and unconditional. Grace means we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. God wasn't obliged to save us, but in his mercy, he acted not because of who we are, but because who he is. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Notice, by grace you have been saved. Not by effort, not by heritage, not by ritual, by grace. And how that grace received? Through faith. Faith is not a human intervention. Faith is not a human creation. Faith is not a work. It is not something we boast about. It is the empty hand that received the gift of God. Salvation is all of God, none of us. This is sola gratia and sola fide in full display. Sola gratia means salvation by grace alone, not baptism, not penance, not human effort. Sola fide means we are justified by faith alone, apart from any work of righteousness. You see, the reformers saw the danger of a gospel polluted by human effort. They stood against the idea that salvation could be bought, earned, and achieved. Martin Luther famously said, "We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone." We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, not by works, so no one may boast. Ask yourself a question today. Are you resting in grace or still striving to earn God's favor? If you think of your life, if you think of yourself, if you think of your stand before the Lord, what is something that would God allow you or let you to enter his throne? Is it all of your effort? All of your church attendance? All of your faithful serving and worship to God that you can say, "Look, God, I've done this, I've done that. I do this, I do that for you." Is it something like that? Or you come before Christ understanding that salvation is God's gift, and that's nothing you could bring to honor him and to make him happy unless, apart from, God's great grace to you. St. Augustine was once asked the question, what is the essence of Christianity? And he replied three words, humility, more humility, and even more humility. The product of grace is a Christian who kneeled before the Lord and said, not by act, only by your grace. Walk in humility. You contributed nothing to your salvation. And the way you can show this humility is by extending grace to others, just as God extended it to you. We are saved in Christ alone for the glory of God alone. Looking at Ephesians chapter 2, pay attention to verses 4 to 7 and 10. Christ is at the center. In verse 5 and 6, we read this, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ, and has raised up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see how many times the word in Christ was mentioned and put emphasis there? Our entire salvation is in Christ. We are not just saved from sin. We are saved to Christ. Paul says we were made alive together with Christ, raised with Him, and seated with Him in the heavenly places. We are saved not by religion, not by ceremony, but by union with Jesus. He is our righteousness. He is our redemption. Christ is our high priest and our mediator. And this is union with Christ. This union with Christ, the very heart of salvation. Everything we have, life, righteousness, hope, is found in Him. We are not saved by a church. We are not saved by a priest. Not by a saint. We are saved by Christ alone. And this has the intention. In verse 7, Paul said this to us, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding righteousness of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Why did God save you? One of my daughters used to ask this question when she was younger. Dad, why do we need to be Christian? Why does God make me a Christian? It's a big temptation for, you know, a pastor, Dad, to give a good reply. Oh, you are saved because you are wonderfully made by God. Well, I can say that because that says in the scripture. But the best answer for that question would be because God loved you. It's not because you are good. It's not because you are wonderful. It's not because we are great and have a great potential for the future. But because God loves you. We used to visit and minister to a lady who, by God's grace, surpassing the age of 100, and she passed away when she was 110. And every time we visited her, something that we always remember from that fond memory of visiting her was a reply when we asked her the question, tell me why you have such bright joy and smile in this life. And her responses were simple. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. That's all she needs to know. Jesus loves me. And that's how we learn about grace. Why did God save us? Because He wants to put the riches of His grace on display for all eternity. The ultimate purpose of salvation is not our comfort, our success, or even our joy. It's God's glory. The end of our salvation is not about our self-esteem. It is the glory of God that we can testify this love of God to others. Soli Deo Gloria means that all salvation from beginning to the end exists to magnify the beauty, justice, and mercy of God. The Reformers stood boldly against the idea that anyone or anything could stand between a sinner and Christ. No pope, no tradition, no sacrament could mediate grace. Solus Christus. Christ alone is the Savior, the head of the church, and the only mediator between God and man. Soli Deo Gloria, the entire work of salvation, exists to glorify God, not man. The Reformers rejected the false teaching that the church or its leader could mediate grace. Jesus Christ is enough. He needs no help from anyone or anything to bring this faith to each one of us. The faith of the Reformation reminds us that everything, including salvation, is for the glory of God, not the glory of man. Where do you put your hope today? Is it in Christ alone? Or is it in religious systems, rituals, or some leaders? Are you living for God's glory? Or you live for your own reputation and success? In your work, your relationship, your parenting, and your worship, ask yourself daily, does this glorify God? In verse 10, Paul said, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them." We are His workmanship. We're not just saved from hell. You were saved for something. Reformation, the salvation is not the end of your story. It's actually the beginning. God doesn't save you from sin. He saves you for good works. You are God's masterpiece. His workmanship, created with a purpose and meaning. You were not saved by works, but you were saved for works. God has prepared good works for you to walk in. Your life has meaning, purpose, and direction in Christ. But how do we know what good works look like? How do we know what these good works are? How do we live a life that pleases God? And this is the answer. Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone is our authority. The Reformers taught us that the Bible alone is sufficient for life and the godliness. Not the tradition of man, not the church decrees, not religious feeling. As Paul taught to Timothy, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is sufficient. It teaches, corrects, and equips us for every good work. We don't follow our feeling. We don't follow the culture. We follow the word of God. Sola Scriptura is the bedrock of the Reformation. It was the battle cry of the Reformation. Luther said, "My conscience is captive by the word of God." The same word must save our faith, our church, our families, our morality, and our mission. The Bible is our final authority in all things. Do you believe God's word, the Bible, is sufficient and final? Are you daily feeding on Scripture? Or your Bible is sitting there on your shelf, gathering dust? Do you let it shape your priorities, your decision, and relationship? Is your life shaped by God's truth? Or is it shaped by the world's opinion? Let the Scripture guide you. Let the Scripture lead you in your work, your speak, your parenthood, your serving, and your life. So how do we live up these Reformation principles? Is this still relevant? Are they still relevant for us today? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 10 is a gospel masterpiece that reminds us we were dead, but God made us alive. We were rebels, but God raised us up in Christ. We were aimless, but God prepared good works for us. So let me close this message by calling you to four gospel-centered commitments. Rest in Christ's grace. Stop pretending. Trust is the free gift of God. Cling to Christ. No priest, no self-help guru can save you. Only Jesus. Submit to Scripture. Let God's word have the final say in your life. And live for God's glory. Not yours, not the world's. Let live to make much of God in your life. Ephesians chapter 3, 20 to 21 said this to us. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Help us, Lord, to see the needs of this world, that we as your people might be able to feel it. Give us your heart, that we have concern to the people around us. Give us your love, that we can share this love that we receive only through your grace to the people around us. Give us your hand and your feet that we may walk and reach out to those who are in need, to those who are still seeking, to those who are still looking for the true love, for the true truth, for the true grace in their life. Help us, Lord, to be able to extend the grace, to show the love, and to express the kindness, mercy that you have given to us, to others. That your kingdom come, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Be with us, Lord. Help us to fulfill your call to each one of us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.